Lord Jesus, without you, we can do nothing. We accomplish a lot when we listen, and we accomplish a lot more when we obey. So give us a heart to listen and a heart to obey. Amen?
Amen.
The word the Lord pressed me on this morning was Zechariah chapter 4. And, you know, a lot of times we like to be able to understand how God is working in our hearts. And Zechariah needed a clean-up job in chapter 3, and kind of, you can read the book of Zechariah, it's not very long, but it'll tell you that he was, you know, in need of some house cleaning. And let's kind of run that. In chapter 3, it says, "Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him," which was part of my sister's conference from last fall. The accuser was on her case. How many have ever had a visit from the accuser? Thank you. And the response was, "The Lord said to Satan, 'The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a man burning stick snatched from the fire?'" Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes, and as he stood before the angel said to those who were standing before him, "Take off his filthy clothes." Then he said to Joshua, "See, I have taken away your sin." Who's taken away my sin? Who has taken away my sin? Jesus did it. Amen. "And I will put rich garments on you." Some of you said you've matured, you've grown, you're changed, you've got new garments on. Amen? "Then I said, 'Put a clean turban on his head.' So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him while the angel of the Lord stood by." Who's the angel of the Lord? That's Christ Jesus. Whenever you see in the scriptures the angel of the Lord, it's really Christ Jesus before he came into the flesh. So that might be helpful to you in the future. Verse 6, "The angel of the Lord gave this charge to Joshua. This is what the Lord Almighty says. If you will walk in my ways and keep my requirements, then you will govern my house and have charge of my courts." Notice the condition. If you will walk in my ways, keep my requirements, then you will govern my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you a place among these standing here. "Listen, O high priest Joshua, and your associates seated before you, who are men, symbolic of things to come." Symbolic of things to come. In other words, this word is also going to happen later on. "I am going to bring my servant, the branch." Now he's talking about who? Jesus is the branch. "See, the stone I have set in front of Joshua. There are 7 eyes on that one stone, and I will engrave an inscription on it, says the Lord Almighty. And I will remove the sin of this land in a single day." Meaning the whole world would be what? Cleansed. In one single day. When was that? 2,000 years ago. Amen? On Calvary, and those who choose to receive it as a done deal, it's done. "In that day, each of you will invite his neighbor to sit under his vine and a fig tree, declares the Lord Almighty. Then the angel who talked with me returned and wakened me as a man is wakened from his sleep. He asked me, 'What do you see?'" Now, watch the point that I'm trying to give you. If this man was not a man of the Spirit of God and did not have the anointing of the Holy Ghost, visions would not be a part of his everyday life. Okay? "I answered, 'I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl at the top and 7 lights on it, with 7 channels to the lights. Also, there are 2 olive trees by it, one on the right end of the bowl and the other on its left. And I asked the angel who talked with me, 'What are these, my Lord?' And he answered, 'Do you not know what these are?' No, my Lord, I replied. He said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Now, I'm going to stop there for a moment. See, he was explaining what the vision meant, and then he was giving it understanding. You and I can do the exact same thing. If we don't understand something and we have revelation come to us by the Holy Ghost, the angel of the Lord will be sent to you to minister you to know and understand. Because you know what? They're available. Hebrews chapter 1 says they're available. Why can't you be a little bit more humble and say, I don't understand. I want to know. I want to understand. I want a clear picture here, Lord. And as you submit to him, what do you think is going to happen? I can do this job all by myself. I don't need you. Holy Spirit, would you help me to humble myself? Would you ask from a humble heart? You're going to what? You're going to receive. If you go by what you were taught, well, this is so easy, I can handle this. Yeah? You think it's easy? You understand from this level. God understands from eternal. You understand from a carnal mind. He understands from a spiritual mind, the mind of Christ. If you want that, you're going to have to humble yourself. You're going to have to ask, what does this mean? I don't understand. God, get it through to me. I don't care how long it takes. Don't stop, but get through to me. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Now, I want to give you the Amplified for that verse, okay? Because it's very important that you look at verse 6 from the Amplified. Then he said to me, this, and in parentheses it says, addition of the bowls to the candlesticks, causing it to yield a ceaseless supply of oil from the olive trees, with an S, olive trees, okay, is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, of whom the oil is a symbol, says the Lord of hosts. Now, trees in the scripture represent what?
People.
Look at your neighbor. Say, trees in the Word of God represent people. Now, how many know there's some pretty hard nuts around? If you're a nutty tree, you're going to be hard to crack. But there are trees that blossom, aren't there? There are olive trees. Olive trees give out what? Olives. Now, when I was in Israel, my mother decided that she was going to take a bite of a green olive. And boy, she'll never forget what it tasted like. It is absolutely so bitter that you carry the taste on your lips for hours. And she kept saying to me, this is unbelievable. I can't get rid of it. You know? And of course we laughed and teased her about it. Because she's the one, I mean, the trees, if you can imagine, olive trees are not that high, at least the ones that we had visible. And you can just reach up and take one. You know, and my mom's not tall. But the taste was intense. And while we were in Israel, there were so many types of olives that we were overwhelmed. Prepared in different ways, and they were just, I mean, it was like a feast. I love olives, I've always had, so it wasn't a problem. But, what happens when you squeeze an olive? You get oil. Are you that olive tree that is to produce olives and let them ripen so that God can squeeze you and then what?
Oil.
And what's the oil for? Huh? Other people. Yes. You're going to supply the substance for them to keep on going. Now, what happens if you put a non-ripened olive into the press? You're not going to get any oil. You have to mature. Okay? And notice again, I mean, the Amplified is pretty clear. Then he said to me, this addition of the bowl to the candlestick, causing it, the candlestick, by the way, is the church, causing it to yield a ceaseless supply of oil from the olive trees. From the olive trees, meaning us as a body. We are the olive trees. I'm producing and you're producing. And as we get squeezed together, what happens? The church gets what? Productive. Amen? And it's going to light a major fire. Amen? It is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. For you are, verse 7, I'm going to continue the Amplified on this one because it is much deeper. For who are you, O great mountain? And it says in parentheses, of human obstacles. Before Zerubbabel, who with Joshua had led the return of the exiles from Babylon. The return of the exiles from Babylon. What does the word Babylon mean? The Tower of Babel. Where did it produce? Confusion. So whenever you see the word Babylon, you can convert it to the word confusion. Where did you come from? From a lifestyle of confusion. Where are you heading? For clarity. Okay? And was undertaking the rebuilding of the temple before him. Undertaking the rebuilding of what temple? The temple not made with hands. What temple is that? Us. And it's a corporate temple as well. See, you need to see the corporate church. Because if you don't see the corporate church, you're going to remain with an individual attitude. Look at your neighbor and say, I need you to be squeezed next to me. God needs your oil. And I need your oil. And I'm not going to make it without you. And the secret is, you're not going to make it without me. Hallelujah. We need each other. And when the squeeze is on, God will get the glory.
Amen.
You're getting on. You're catching it. You're catching it. Who with Joshua had led the return of the exiles from Babylon and was understanding of the rebuilding of the temple before him. You shall become a plain, a mere molehill. So all the obstacles that seem to be like mountains, what are they going to become? A piece of nothing. Amen? And he shall bring forth the finishing gable stone. What is that? Of the new temple. With loud shoutings of the people crying, grace to it. Grace to it. The capstone. That's what God is talking about. Jesus is the capstone. He's the top of the pyramid. That's what that is. That's what it's talking about. And so, if you get the understanding that you're not going to go to heaven without your brothers and your sisters, you need them for the journey. You need their oil, and they need yours. And when you begin to comprehend this, there's not going to be that, oh, well, I don't know, I don't think I fit in. Well, too bad for your thinking. Okay? Look at your neighbor, say, if you don't think you fit in, tough cookies. Get over it. You fit in. I need you. And you need me.
Amen.
All right. Did you get it? Okay, we'll go back to the NIV. Okay. Let's go to one more verse, I believe. If I go back to the right chapter, that will help, right? Okay. Verse 7 again. What are you, O mighty mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of God bless it, or grace to it in the Amplified. Then the word of the Lord came to me. The hand of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hand will also complete it. So who's going to begin it? The Lord. Who's going to finish it? The Lord. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Who despises the day of small things? Men will rejoice when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These seven are the eyes of the Lord which range throughout the earth. Then I asked the angel, what are these two olive trees on the right and the left of the lampstand? Again I asked him, what are these two olive branches besides the two gold pipes that pour out golden oil? He replied, do you not know what these are? So he's expecting them to understand, but he's got enough, let's say, courage to ask the question, enough humility to say, I don't understand. And even when the angel is expecting him to know, he's still going to give him an answer. He says, no, my Lord, I said. So he said, these are the two who are anointed to serve the Lord of all the earth. Who are the two? Who are the two? Who are the two witnesses? No. Christ and the Holy Spirit. Christ in me, the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit is the facilitator and the one that brings clarity, and he's on the earth, right or wrong? Could he come to the earth before Pentecost? No! He was here just to visit. But who's here now to remain? The Holy Spirit. See, Christ came and then he sent the Holy Spirit. And when we know that it is his Spirit working together with the Holy One of Israel, we become the fullness of the church. It also is recognized as priests and kings. We are a people that are to be as priests and kings, to be developed into maturity so that we can be in the earth what we were called to be. So think about the reality of those two witnesses. Now I know there's many religious attitudes on this point. And there are, Elijah was one, etc., etc. But if you boil it down to the day of Pentecost, which is what we're going to be faced with very, very soon, those two witnesses are Christ himself appearing in his people and appearing through his people. And in appearing and manifesting right now all over the earth, especially to non-believers. How many know that? There was an intense program that I happened to watch a part of the other day. And this young man was sharing about what's going on in Asia, in the Philippines. I mean, there is a major change happening in the church out there because Christ Jesus is manifesting visibly. They can see him and they can confront him. My God, who are you? And he tells them, Muhammad is not the answer. Allah is not your God. Come to me, those who are weary. I was even told that in the midst of the country of Arabia, Saudi Arabia, there are alive underground churches that are worshiping Jesus Christ now. What do you think is happening to the king, Saud, and their family structure, which is shaking? Then he made a declaration, this same young man made a declaration that he tried as a Muslim to come in from Canada, and he was able to cross the border, but then he was here to set up shop for his strategy to destroy this nation. And every time they planned something, it fell apart. I wonder why. And then the anointing of God's Holy Spirit came upon him, and he was born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, and is now a threat to his old leaders, his old friends. He's become full of God's Holy Ghost. And I believe you can find him on the 700 Club if you go on the internet. It was an awesome testimony. Does anybody remember his name? Oh, it was so... How many have ever seen Pat Robertson get excited? Pat Robertson was so excited about this young man that he literally took his hand and he blessed him right on the air. And he said, I want you to know God is using you and you are a blessing. But he says, isn't your life in danger? And the young man says, yes, it is. There are many threats on his life. But he's got a commission from God, like St. Paul had. But he's the one that gave some of this intense testimony. It was awesome. It was exciting. Why? Because we're living in that day. Look at your neighbor. Say, not by might. Not by power. But by the Holy Ghost. This whole world will become the kingdom of our God. It's been declared. I receive it. And I believe it. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You got what I got.